On TikTok once, someone commented on my content and said, "Isn't it funny when older people jump on a trend, but they don't really understand what it's about?" And it's true, I didn't actually understand what it was about. Sometimes social media can feel like a real mystery to those of us who are older. But the important thing to remember is that most people are on social media for the same reasons. We're all essentially the same. Welcome to Good Enough Counsellors, the podcast for growing a private practice without the pressure to be perfect. I'm Josephine Hughes, counsellor and creator of Therapy Growth Group, helping you get the clients you want and create the practice of your dreams. Welcome to today's episode, where I'm going to be answering a question that does come up every now and then. And it's this: I'm mainly followed on social media by other therapists. So what can I do to try and reach clients? For many of you, you might come onto my Follow Friday post in Good Enough Counsellors in the Facebook group, where you follow other people and they follow you back. But of course, that creates this sort of bubble where it's all therapists who are following each other. And some people would even go so far as to say, you shouldn't do that. I'm going to explain why I don't think that's the case. But I can imagine that it is a question that you've got. If I'm mainly being followed by therapists, how does that work? How am I ever going to get any clients? So what I'm going to do in the next few social media episodes, which come out once a month, is I'm going to talk about this particular issue. How can I get more people who are the general public and not therapists to follow me so that I can actually reach them? But first off, what I'd really like to say is, if you are being followed by therapists, that's okay. You're not the only person to whom this has happened. And also, actually, therapists can be a great source of referrals for you. So if you're putting out content that other therapists like, they may well refer people to you. So try not to beat yourself up too much about it. And just follow some of these ideas that I'm going to share with you to help you reach more people who might be directly looking for therapy. And let's face it, you know, therapists actually do enjoy following other therapists because they're quite reflective. You might be talking about issues that they really think about as well. Your posts will attract them. And it's really helpful to remember that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with your content. It's just that those are the people you know and they like your content. So it might just be reflective of what you're putting out there. And you can make little tweaks to make it a bit simpler. And you might want to make little tweaks just to make it easier for yourself to reach out to clients. But let's think for a moment about why it is that you may be attracting therapists. And I think sometimes it's to do with visibility and our fear about visibility. And this is such a big subject. I will come back to it and I'll dedicate a whole episode to the subject of visibility. But I think we can be quite scared about social media. We can be quite scared about self-disclosure. And so we tend to be quite professional when we're appearing on social media. We might use professional words, for example. We don't want to be judged or misunderstood. So we might hide a little bit behind our sort of professional persona. We're quite cautious about boundaries. We might slip into therapist language without noticing. And quite understandably, we want to appear competent and we don't want to make mistakes. And all of these things might actually cause us to subconsciously erect a bit of a barrier between ourselves and our clients when we're on social media. And actually, what we want to do is we want to open up a relationship with the general public, with potential clients on social media. And so it's really about trying to see where those barriers might be. And that's part of what I'm going to talk about today. If you think about it, when we're a qualified therapist, we've been in the profession for a number of years. We've done the education, we've done the reading, We've communicated with our peers and colleagues. We've been in supervision. We've learned how to use the language of therapy. And that tends to be possibly quite academic and professional. Whereas if we really want to be working with clients, we need to think about the language that they use. So we might talk about something like attachment wounds, for example, but the general public might be better off if you were to say something like, you may panic when someone pulls away from you. So it's thinking about your language, and I will come back to this next month in the social media episode, because what clients actually follow therapists for is they want to feel that you understand them. And that language can be a bit of a barrier. They're not looking for theory. They're looking for something that really resonates with their experience. And they follow you when you say something that actually names their experience. So if you're producing content where they read it and they just think, yeah, that's how I feel, that's how I think, you're much more likely to appeal to them than when you're using some of the concepts that we might talk about, which is our shorthand. If we were to talk about attachment theory to each other, we know what we're talking about, but obviously they haven't had the benefit of that education reading that you've had. So it's really thinking about how can I communicate in a way that really touches them, and that's not about theory. We tend to hide behind that professional persona, but clients follow us because they feel seen in what we're saying, not because they feel impressed by our professional qualifications and language. It really does act as a bit of a barrier. So it's really important to think about visibility, to think about, am I trying to hide away a little bit because I feel a bit scared? I feel a bit scared about being judged. And we are often thinking, this is the ironic thing, is that you know, we're attracting therapists, and that might make us even more cautious about what we say because we're worried about what other therapists are going to think if we self-disclose, for example, or, you know, if we say something simply, you know, am I dumbing it down? We're worried about what other therapists might think. But of course, that isn't really thinking about what our clients need to hear from us. And it's perfectly natural, isn't it? Of course, you know, one of the things that we're on social media for is to make connections. And we would like to connect with our peers as well. So obviously, we are going to be a bit worried about visibility. We're often quite sensitive people, and we do worry about getting something wrong, especially in public. But that does tend to push us towards sort of safer therapist relatable content, but not really client relatable content. So really, what I'd really love you to think about is there's nothing actually wrong with your content. It's just that you maybe haven't shaped it for clients yet. And in the next episode, I'll actually talk about those practical shifts that you can make so that your content actually reaches the people you really want to help. So look out for that in the February social media episode. Right, so what I'd like to give you now are some ideas as to what you could post in February that is actually to do with clients. So what I've done is I've looked at what's coming up on social media, and I've tried to divide it into themes for you. And you could do either one of these themes over the whole month, or you could do a week dedicated to each of these themes, or even you could do something on this theme. All themes, you do four different posts in a week. So let me tell you what they are. Theme one is talking about your feelings and about reaching out for support. The reason I'm bringing up this particular subject, because obviously talking about feelings and encouraging people to reach out for support is something probably we do most months. But this month is actually Time to Talk Day, and that's on the 5th of February. And also, it's Children's Mental Health Week, which is something that Place to Be promote. And that's on the 9th to the 15th of February. So with those dates in mind, it really is worth thinking about why talking about problems can be helpful and how it supports people's mental health, because obviously that's what we do as therapists. So it'd be really good to hop on to that Time to Talk Day. It will be a national conversation. You can look up details of it on the various mental health charities, for example. Mind have got a page on it. So hop on to that day. Be part of the conversation, because the message will be getting out there to a lot of people. So it's a really great time to talk about what you do, how you support people, why talking is really helpful. And even you could talk about why talking to a real person as opposed to AI is actually really helpful too. I had a message from someone recently and they were saying, what is it? What can I do? Surely people are finding AI so helpful. How can I compete with it? You know, it's there, it's free. How can I compete with it? And I think it's really about showing how, you know, AI can't intuit what you're thinking. It's not as effective as being with someone who might just be there while you sob your heart out and who is a real human person who shows you that you're not alone. That isn't something that AI does very well. So talk about why talking to someone real, a human, and having that sense of human companionship is so, so important to healing. Right, second theme is all to do with love and loneliness and all the ways we connect. Because obviously the February is going to be Valentine's Day. The shops are going to be full of pink hearts, aren't they? And everybody's going to be trying to sell stuff. So if you're not in a partnership, you might be impacted by that. And it's really helpful to remember that the 15th of February is actually Singles Awareness Day. So that could be something that you talk about in your social media. But you could talk about the pressure that's there around Valentine's Day, because you know, this idea that it's all about romance. I mean, yeah, that's lovely. It's fun. But let's face it, relationships aren't just about romance, and there's a lot of pressure on people, and it can make people feel less than because they haven't got this picture-perfect relationship, this Instagrammable relationship. And let's face it, there's going to be a lot of it out there on social media. So, yeah, be real with people. Talk about the difficulties. Talk about how hard it is and how therapy can really help. Whether you're a couples therapist or whether you see individuals, you can still help people with relationships. And it's also another important week, which is a Romantic Spectrum Awareness Week from the 15th to the 23rd. So again, that's something that you could bring in just to show how different people are, and that this expectation around Valentine's Day is just a way of marketing cards and meals and pretty things. Righto, so that's all about love, loneliness, and all the ways we connect. The next theme that I'd like you to think about is identity, inclusion, and feeling safe, because it's actually LGBTQ History Month throughout the whole of February, obviously. And also Stand Up to Bullying Day is another day to do with inclusion, and that's on the 27th of February. The way I think you could use it is how feeling safe and understood is at the heart of therapy, and especially if you're somebody who does work with people who've been involved in abusive relationships. Talking about bullying is really important. Also, I mean, it goes across the board, doesn't it? You could talk about workplace bullying. You could talk about school place bullying. There's lots of ways that bullying actually comes up. But how that shapes someone's emotions, how that impacts them in the long term. It's a subject that I think is really rich for you to think about, especially if you know what your niche is. You could really make this a very useful and important topic to talk about around Stand Up to Bullying Day. And then my final theme of four is nourishing your well-being. We've got Boost Your Self-Esteem Month, again, the whole of the month. And it's also Eating Disorders Awareness Week from the 23rd of February to the 1st of March. So there's a lot there that you could talk about. Ways to boost your self-esteem, what self-esteem is all about, why we might have low self-esteem, how that self-esteem might impact us with eating disorders. If you don't work with eating disorders, you could still signpost people to information about eating disorders. You could hop onto the back of any other discussion that's going on during that week. It can be something that simply you just share if you find something good. But often if you are joining in, this is where in my introduction I talked about trends, there will be things that are trending during Eating Disorders Awareness Week. And you could say use a hashtag that's trending that week to help you be part of the conversation as well. And a little reminder that when you are talking about these different themes, try and use the language that your clients would use. Try to talk about it in a way that they would talk about it. Because if you want to expand your page beyond therapists, you need to start using the language of your clients. So just to summarise those four themes, which of course you could use for blogs or videos as well. The first theme was talking about feelings and reaching out for support. The second theme was all around love and loneliness and the ways we connect. The third theme was about identity, inclusion and feeling safe. And the fourth theme was about nourishing your well-being. And overall, what we've talked about in this episode is if you want to reach outside therapist audience, try and use the language of your clients. Provide them with that warmth, connection, encourage them that they're not alone, and you'll begin to find more of them will follow you. So that's it. Thanks very much for listening. Listen out to next month's social media episode, where I'll go into a bit more detail about that. Bye for now. Thanks for listening. Do come and join my Facebook community, Good Enough Counsellors. And for more information about how I can help you develop your private practice, please visit my website, josephinehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with a fellow therapist or leave a review on your podcast app. And in closing, I'd love to remind you that every single step you make gets you closer to your dream. I really believe you can do it.